Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Anna Campbell. Hello, Anna.
Hello, Gary.
So Anna covers education for us here at the News Tribune, elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, right?
That's right.
So she's been doing it for us almost a year. Her primary coverage areas include Jefferson City Schools, Helias, Blair Oaks, Eugene Schools, just all the schools in the district. And I'm going to tease this. Fun fact, she's a little bit of a woodworker too, which has always captured my attention. But let's go back to education first. Anna wrote a story recently about dual credit classes and advanced placement classes. Both have been in the news recently, based on legislation that was considered, as well as just it's always a good topic for those folks who have students in high school. So Anna, why don't you break down for us first what a dual credit class is, then we'll talk about advanced placement.
Sure. So a dual credit class is going to be basically a college level course that's taught in the high school. And really in this story, so there's also dual enrollment, and that's essentially the same thing, but it's taught by a college professor. Okay. So they run pretty much the same way, and people use those terms interchangeably. But essentially, college-level course in a high school.
Okay. So you pay for those classes, right? Mm-hmm. The parents or the students would mm-hmm. pay for the college classes, but it's at a discounted rate
right.
compared to what they would pay if they were going to Missouri State, et cetera.
Right. So, and you can usually earn credit both at the high school and the college level. You're paying, it's anywhere from 70 to 80, kind of in that range per credit hour. Whereas if you took that same class at a college, you might be paying 200 or 300 a credit hour. So okay. it can be a significant money saver.
So in addition to the money saving, it's also a time saving because then for some students, they might start as a second semester freshman or even a first semester sophomore, the first steps they make on the campus.
Right. Some of the schools I was talking to, you can get 30 or 40 hours of college credit. So you're coming in with a semester, two semesters to college.
Sure. So advanced placement, let's talk about it. So kind of explain what an advanced placement course would be.
Sure. So advanced placement is similar in that you can still earn college credit and it's taught in the high school. It doesn't have to be taught by a college professor. There's no specific requirements for those teachers. It can be anybody, but they have to basically kind of teach to prepare you for your exam at the end of the year. And that exam determines whether you get credit for it at the college level.
Okay. So is there a fee for the advanced placement classes?
Yeah. So you pay for the test and that's okay. going to be $96 for the test. And okay. then you can get a discount depending on if you're eligible.
Okay. So I think back, it's been a few years, I will tell you, Anna, when I was in college, but it basically allowed you to test out of some classes. Is that
right.
a fair, mm-hmm. fair option? So for instance, if you had a lot of AP math classes, let's say, would get you out of having to take algebra as a freshman or a sophomore.
Right.
So same concept.
Mm-hmm. And those are going to be all lower level classes. You're not taking your really advanced college courses in
okay.
high school. So it's freshman level courses usually.
Okay. So do all the districts provide dual credit / dual enrollment and AP classes?
No. Jeff City is a mix of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Blair Oaks has mostly dual credit, dual enrollment, and then they have one AP course. And then at Russellville, it's all dual credit. So
yeah. My perception is always that it seems like for smaller districts, it would be easier to offer dual credit because you're basically hiring a contractor to come in to teach this, and as opposed to trying to get existing staff trained to the spot where they can proctor or teach the AP class.
Sure.
Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. I initially thought it might be the other way around just because your teachers for AP don't have to have any special qualifications, whereas if you've got like a high school teacher teaching dual credit, they need to have a more advanced degree, like a master's.
Sure.
But that doesn't account for the fact that you can kind of outsource that and have a college professor come in or Zoom in. Now that's popular because we've gone through the Zoom era.
Yeah.
So instead of your teacher being kind of consumed with having to teach these advanced courses and not having those hours open for, you know, other science or math courses or whatever, you can kind of outsource that and have a college professor come in and teach that. So.
Okay. So when we talk about dual enrollment costs, it strikes me that sometimes that can be a barrier to some elements of a school population because these are folks who, let's say, they're public school students who may be on a very limited budget at home. So Are there tools or approaches that will help them be able to use that tool of dual enrollment or dual credit?
So some colleges actually help with that. So I believe it was CMU actually gives you the first 6 credit hours free if you're on free and reduced lunch. Also, there's a scholarship available through the Missouri Department of Higher Education and Workforce Development, and that is also based on financial needs. So you have to have a 2.5 GPA and meet the A+ scholarships, good citizenship requirements, and then you can basically, based on your financial needs or your income from the last year, they have a pool of money, and the first ones that meet that requirement, they just pay it out until it's gone. So that can potentially cover all of the cost of those classes.
Okay. I would presume that school counselors would be the person that a parent or a student would go to ask questions about these scholarships.
Sure.
Or even just the programs in general.
That would be the person I would ask. And then it's also, you can just find it on Google, you know, search dual credit, dual enrollment scholarship. It'll probably be one of the top hits. So.
Okay. I mentioned in the intro that this has kind of become a discussion, or was a discussion, the session's over, but it was a discussion in the General Assembly this year. So kind of walk us through what the whole discussion was. It primarily was about AP classes, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so there was a bill this year, I believe it was House Bill 1683, and then it, you know, as the session goes, it gets tacked onto a lot of different things. But it was a bill to allow, basically, or to require, I suppose, all colleges to accept a 3 on the AP exam for credit. So it's graded on a 1 to 5 scale, 5 being the highest. And so what it had been was each college would have different requirements and different requirements even for each course on what score you would need to get credit for that course. So for instance, I took advanced placement U.S. history in high school. And there was, you know, as you're going into the test, everybody's going to look at the colleges they're interested in and see, well, what do I need to get on this test to get credit at the college I'm looking at?
Right.
So for me, I was looking at the University of Missouri, and that is where I ended up going. And I needed a 4 for that exam instead of a 3, which is a little bit more difficult.
Right.
So it's sort of a gamble, because if I take that test and I get a 3 and I decide to go to the University of Missouri, I'm going to have to take that class again. So anyway, this legislation was to require those colleges to take a 3, and any college, any public university, I believe, I don't know if that would apply to private, but any college to take a 3 for any course that matches that course.
Sure. So now initially, some schools, like Mizzou, was opposed to this idea of everybody accepts a 3.
Mm-hmm.
But that seems to have changed as the session went on, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the main concern was if it's a course that falls within your major, so say you're a biology major, you want to be a doctor, and you took AP biology, you got a 3, there was concern in some of those colleges that maybe a 3 is not good enough if that's something you are focusing on with your career.
Right.
But for whatever reason, you know, not everything happens, you know, there's a lot of talking behind closed doors.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, they said, yeah, I think we are moving more towards standardizing for a 3. And so those colleges kind of hopped on board.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess the cynical side of me says, well, yeah, the university obviously wants the student to take that biology class on campus. It goes into their pockets. But I also understand the idea, too, that you want to set the student up for success.
Right.
So
it does
all...
no good for a school to have a student that can't graduate because they just weren't prepared.
Right.
So.
Exactly. So I think there's a good understanding on both sides about that. So, and that's the thing that struck me as I read your story, which we'll have a link to it in the show notes of this podcast. But there's not one answer for every student. Right? There are some situations where a dual credit or a dual enrollment would be a better option than an AP for a student. So let's kind of walk through some of the pros and cons of those two options.
First, the cost. AP is cheaper because you're just paying for that exam fee, and that's just, it's less than taking a 3 credit hour class. But, and this is more true before, now if this bill is passed into law, the AP exam could be more beneficial if you only have to get a 3 everywhere. But before, it was certainly more of a gamble if you're going to take an AP course, because if you get a lower score at the end of the year, you could say that your year's work was for naught.
Yeah.
People like dual credit courses. One of the counselors that I spoke to from Blair Oaks said that their students like dual credit courses because basically their performance in the class determines their grade mm-hmm. and determines whether they get college credit. So I don't know how you were as a test taker, but I know that a lot of people get really nervous about taking tests. And so if your whole course credit is determined by an AP exam at the end of the year, for some people that pressure just leads to failure. You know, that's just too much riding on one exam.
Sure.
Whereas with a dual credit course, you know, you may have tests over the course of the school year, but ultimately the whole grade determines whether you get credit.
Yeah. So to answer your question, I excel at test taking.
Well,
so,
great.
Yeah. All right. Maybe not excel, but I do okay.
Good.
Okay. Well, another thing that I have a couple kids. One of them went more the dual credit route, one the AP route. I think for the AP student, another factor that played in was AP classes are weighted on GPA. If a GPA is important to you as far as competition for scholarships, class ranking, mm-hmm. that sometimes that comes into play as well.
Sure.
For my other student / child, it was more about this person wanted to make sure he stayed within 4 years of college, not 5 years. Mm-hmm. So that gave him a leg up where he could maybe even take his first semester or second semester a few less classes so he could ease into this whole new environment.
Yeah.
To me, that's what I find fascinating about the subject is it's different. You have to know your child to be able to guide them which way is the better way to go for
sure.
that child.
You know, one thing, I'll just mention this because this was something that I had found, but I didn't include because I didn't want this story to just turn into a mammoth piece. One thing was that the vast majority of students entering college actually do bring AP credit with them. So it may not be a ton, but they've taken an AP course and got credit for it. So it was 3 out of 4 students bring AP credit with them into college.
Well, that is interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Anna, thank you so much for this topic. I mean, I would encourage you listeners to check out the story. It does lay out very nicely the differences between the two options. And especially for young parents, it really... as you start those freshmen, sophomores, it's a discussion you need to have then. I mean, you don't wait till your senior year to try to figure this out. So take a look at Anna's story. Again, the information's in our show notes. So I'm going to circle back, though, to the fascinating topic of woodworking. So, Anna, tell us a little bit about how you got into woodworking and what your latest project is.
Okay, well, I wish I could say why it was I wanted to get into woodworking, but I just remember, I think I was in middle school at the time, but I just kind of remember waking up one day and being like, I would really love to learn how to do woodwork.
Yeah.
So I asked my parents, is there anybody we know that does this? And I had an uncle who did some wood carving. So I wrote him a letter, good old snail mail.
Yeah.
Pen and paper. And I said, could you teach me how to carve? Now he lives 5 hours away. So it wasn't particularly feasible, but he was very generous and sent me a whole bunch of materials, everything I needed to kind of get started.
Right.
And so I kind of was self-taught. I did some fun projects. I did a chess set that I'm pretty happy with. Mm-hmm. And my dad had a hip and a knee replacement, so I carved him a cane.
Nice.
That was a lot of fun. And then more recently, I got a lathe, a wood lathe, which...
Okay.
has been a source of joy for me.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've been making some pens on that.
Okay. So she showed me one earlier, and it's got the sleeve of its wood mm-hmm. and fully functional, too. Looks very nice. So
yeah.
We might share some photos of some of Anna's woodworking there just to kind of give you an inside glimpse of
definitely.
The...
Oh, definitely. I'll do some show and tell around the office once
awesome.
I've built some. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Sounds great. So stay tuned for that. Well, Anna, thank you for joining us today, talking about the education beat as well as your woodworking.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.